Brings us to subset G. Dave, you get to sit tight again, and we get to talk about a variance.
Yes. This one should be easy. Brent Taylor of 1441 Main Street has applied for a 5-foot variance to the 10-foot side setback and a 10-foot variance to the 30-foot rear setback to allow for the installation of a 14-foot by 24-foot garage on his property. It's legal non-conforming residence within the general commercial zoning district. The primary reason for the variance request is to avoid a sewer service line leading to the sewer main in the alley to the north. 9 official notifications were sent out to neighboring landowners within 200 feet of the property. Those notifications resulted in the following results based on assessed property values. Approval 66.46. This includes the property owner. No response of 34.54%. Zero disapprovals. And I have, as you see there, there's a proposed garage sidewalk from the that's existing right now from the house. And the green stripe is approximate area of the sewer line for the house that goes out to the sewer main. Mr. Taylor would like to keep the garage as far away as possible to allow if access to that sewer line if it ever needed to be replaced or repaired.
And if I could add, you can see where the walkway is there. For years, there was an existing garage there that was moved out to the CMA campground out in Piedmont years ago. So basically, it's going to be smaller than what was there originally, but it shows basically where the garage would be sitting.
Any questions from council?
Actually, this new garage is closer to the resident than it was to the alley, than the old garage that was
over. Well, you can see where, what I was told, I'm new in the area, but I was told where the walkway right. goes there went right up to the back right. of the garage. Yes.
On the, yep. Yes. Alley.
There wasn't that setback before. Thank you, sir, and I have a lot of plans. I'm a chaplain from Northern California. I lost everything in the campfire.
Oh, wow.
And was offered, lost my home and everything, and was offered this property. And I've been coming out as a chaplain since 1985 and preaching on the streets during the rally. So that ministry will continue, and that's why I need a garage. To help in the ministry.
The property owner to the, it would be the west there, they approve of this because that's, you're going to be closest to their property line.
Everybody has come to me personally and
Harmons,
said,
yes.
We love what you're doing.
Great.
There was a big, huge cottonwood in the back that everybody was worried. I took care of all that. All on any homes.
Any other questions or discussion from council?
I would just like to compliment you, Mr. Taylor, on being a minister during the rally here. That's quite a ministry that you do. And you're only asking for 2 small variances here on. I would make a motion to approve.
We got a first by Ron and a second by Mike. Let me open this up for public discussion. Any questions, comments, concerns on this variance for, on the setback for, to build a garage? None being heard. With the first and second on the floor, all those in favor of the motion, please indicate by stating yes.
Yes.
Opposed to no. That motion carries. You got your variance.
Thank you, Mayor, Council.
Welcome to town, Mr. Taylor. Item 11's reports. This brings us to subset A. This is another resolution. It's 2019-38. This is amendment to the TIF number 12. And Mr. Barnier, I look to you for a staff report, please.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of council. The council report prepared by Daniel is more detailed than most of them I ever write. So I hope that you've had a chance to review it in the council packet. As a summary, the TIF number 12 This is a brief, a modest amendment to the TIF to include the I need to make sure this is for this is
don't get crossed over into the park. Yep.
I need to make sure which one I'm talking on. This is to allow additional stormwater infrastructure that was not part of the original plan, and this improvement in the infrastructure is designed to cure activities that occurred on neighboring property that were not anticipated when the original TIF was created. This infrastructure will still be paid for, this change to the plan will still be paid for out of the TIF revenue, and you have the description in the council report of how that will happen. The core of the benefit that is in here is that with the change in stormwater that's now part of this property, that effectively takes, I believe it's a total of 11 lots out of development. Using this change to the TIF plan will put 10 of those 11 lots back into being available for residential development. So that's the core of it. The improvement itself is to take runoff that is now greater than can be managed in an even flow, put it in a larger detention area, and then move it in a structured improvement down to the second detention pond where it will be released in a more even flow and rate. And there's a description in there as well of the different costs associated with this plan. But what I want to point out is that, first of all, this change is something that's clearly allowed under statute. And secondly, it's anticipated, if I recall the report correctly, that this will add, I think it's only about about a year and a half to the payoff of all of the improvements in the TIF plan. So with that, I'll do the best I can to respond to any council questions on this particular resolution for change.
Any questions from council or staff on rewriting, changing TIF 12, I guess, is the easiest way to say it. How about public comments on this topic? Questions, concerns?
Thank you, Mayor.
Thanks, Greg. First by Rhea.
Second it.
Second by Steve. Last chance for comment, questions, or concerns. Public or council. All in favor of the motion, please indicate by stating yes.
Yes. Yes.
Opposed to no. That motion carries.
I just want to make a point of interest on this. In the very first paragraph of the council report, with an average assessed value per house of $170,000.
And that is when he was valuing the TIF. The valuations are now higher.
Right.
We are ahead on that TIF.
Mm-hmm.
Subset B is consideration to approve a contract with Dolan Creek for the development of Dolan Creek Park. Back to you, Greg.
Thank you, Mayor. And again, on this matter, the initial plan called for construction of a park as part of the TIF improvements. The funding was to be at the level of $150,000. Both of those are consistent with what is before you in the request to approve this contract this evening. What was not in the initial plan was an identification of who the contractor was going to be. Certainly, it may have been that the developer was going to make it something he would do, but it wasn't formally specified in the plan. As it's before you this evening, now the proposal is that the city would provide or would act as contractor for this particular public park. Two items that I think are significant is, first of all, that this is a, I've been told it's actually a smaller cost than the recent work that was done by the Parks Group, or excuse me, by Parks and Public Works staff at 6th Street. Second thing is that this contract, as it is proposed, does require that the expenditures would all be subject to the public bid laws. That means, A, either traditional bidding, or in the alternative, the materials or structures would be purchased off a public bid list. Either way, to ensure that the taxpayers get the best deal possible for these types of improvements. In addition to that, my notes are that, of course, in this particular instance, this is land that is essentially donated by the developer to the public as part of the initial project, and so there's no expenditure of city funds for any property here. It'll only be for the improvements at the project. So with that, I'll respond to council questions if I am able. Thank you.
I have a question, Mr. Barnier. Then the prices for the various structures that the city will be purchasing, those were basically on a state bid list?
I believe those are estimated prices, but those are estimated prices based on
research of public bid list.
Yes.
Okay.
And I would note that that most of the materials at the 6th Street Park were purchased off of the bid list, as I understand
same
it.
Bid list. Okay.
Faye's telling me the same bid list, so you can take it from her.
Okay.
Is there certain criterias for the, 5-inch concrete pad?
I'm sorry, sir.
Like the thickness of what it needs to be?
It's my understanding that Public Works and Parks will be, if there is a requirement, Public Works and Parks will be making sure that it meets the requirement just as they did on the 6th Street Park.
Yeah.
I'm not aware of what the specific
I didn't know. Because I was just, save costs. You knock an inch. Four inches is your driveways and everything.
My guess is that to meet the kind of parks equipment that will keep our risk assessment officer happy, they're going to have to follow whatever the current and acceptable standard is. And if it's 4 inches, it'll have to be 4 inches.
Right, and that's my question, if five was a certain standard or what. So, but we'll find out.
I can get that information for you, but I don't know it tonight.
Thank you.
Any other questions from council? About public input? A contract with Dolan Creek for a Dolan Creek Park.
Make a motion to approve the consideration for Dolan Creek LLC for development.
I'll second that.
We got a first by Ron and a second by Terry.
Question, Mr. Mayor?
Yep.
And that includes city manager to sign required documents?
City manager to sign.
Thank you.
Sign needed documents?
Needed documents, yeah.
That good with you, Terry, on your second for city manager to sign and perform?
Yep.
Any last discussion? We have a first and a second on the floor. All those in favor of the motion, please indicate by stating yes.
Yes.
Opposed to no. That motion carries. Brings us to item C, the citizen's request to be on the city council agenda. And Bill, it's you. Do you want to come up and add anything? I know we all read the information there.
I'm Bill Sissel with the Sturgis Chronicle. I think you were given a little bit of misinformation when you made your decision 2 weeks ago about naming your legal newspaper. The statement of ownership and circulation only requires that to maintain your legal status. I don't have any, other than being me, I don't have any legal status right now. So So I really didn't even have to present that. And I would not have to file that even if I was named tonight as your legal paper. I wouldn't really have to file that until next year for the year of 2021. The second thing is that your finance officer indicated a substantial savings by going from the Rapid City Journal to the Black Hills Pioneer. That savings was not due to going to the specifically to the Pioneer. It was to because the circulation of the journal is somewhere around 28,000. The cutoff for is a daily under 9,000 can only charge 90% of so the Black Hills Pioneer can only charge 90% of what the journal does. At the same time, because nobody at South Dakota Press will talk to me until I'm a member, and I can't be a member until I'm a legal newspaper, but I believe that I can only charge somewhere between 80 and 90%. So I'm going to ask you to reconsider your vote on that, and I will add failing to become your primary legal newspaper. And I know that you haven't done this before, I'm aware of, is to name me as your secondary and allow me to publish your legals. And except for the last 18 months, the city is, I know it's nice to have access to that daily publication. I'd like to be driving a Cadillac. It ain't going to happen. But you've only been served by a daily since around the first part of November of 2017. And we'll work, I'll work with you on getting your notices in and publishing them in a timely manner, but I think I've shown pretty good track record in the last almost year and a half now of trying to serve the community with little or no staff, because I'm down to myself now. My reporter seemed to want to be paid, and I didn't understand that, but I'm just asking you to look at that and make a decision on whether I'm your primary or your secondary.
So I got a question, Bill, for you, but you could answer from there, certainly. So what you're stating, if we listed you as our secondary paper, that you would print our legal still, but would that be a double cost to the citizens if it was that way? I mean, I see the gain that you get is you're trying to get the legal status. So if we
I said before.
Right, to make it consistent upon the size of the community, probably.
And that's even necessary if it's a secondary legal paper?
I'd be happy to provide the council research on this before the next meeting, but I've not had any time in the last couple of days to research this notion of being the municipality designating a primary and a secondary newspaper and how things would get allocated and such as that.
Well, any further discussion on Mr. Sissel's requests and comments?
If I may, Mr. Mayor, yep. I must point out, since it was merely a citizen request to be on the agenda, there's really not authority to take any particular action this evening.
Understood. No, but I would, if we can somehow find out, but, you know, I hate to take up a whole lot of your time, Greg, but if we could find out.
When there is time to take a look and look at that, we should be able to have.
Yeah. Yeah, about the second, this business with having a secondary newspaper and whether he can not charge us or, you know, and he can print our legals and stuff like that to give him the ability to be more of a newspaper than he has right now.
Understood.
Yeah.
Well, we'll move to item D. Under reports, this is first reading of Title VII, Ordinance 2019-05. Mr. Barnier, I'll send it back to you.
Good evening again, Mayor and Council. This is before you is consideration for first reading of modifications of a portion of Title VII, that particular portion that deals with changes to the way city ordinance describes the Planning Commission. This is something that was part of a general public discussion of the council at a meeting in February, and since then the draft has been prepared and gone through a couple of times, provided to council in mid to late March. And since that time, I've not heard back with any specific comments, so I presume council hasn't had questions on the language that's included. Specifically, what the core of the changes you find in Section 70803, where it describes the some of the activities of the council, how council commissioners will be selected and appointed. There is also a provision, or also in that same subsection, it identifies as I say, their qualifications and how they would be selected. This change, as provided, is to make the city ordinance consistent with changes made in state statute so that the city ordinance would be more consistent with that. I also wanted to point out that, I'm sorry, I've lost my place in this particular ordinance, the I believe there's a reference to the fact that these terms and the commissioners would continue to serve without direct compensation. They are authorized now to receive free membership or discounted family memberships in the at the community center as a type of compensation for their service. So with that, I'd be glad to respond to council questions, if there are any.
Any questions on this small portion of Title VII being considered for first reading tonight?
Well, doesn't the first sentence in the second paragraph of 7.08.03, all commissioners shall reside within the city of Sturgis, doesn't that need to be in red as well? Because that's not in the ordinance.
I would agree with you that that language, as you pointed out, is different than the current ordinance now. What it ordinance now reflects is they would be residents or owners of, well, no, I think that, I'm not sure that that is changed, because this does reflect that they would reside within or be own property within the city, and I think that's the same standard that's in the current ordinance.
Not on the ordinances that are on the website.
Oh. Well.
Mm-mm. Well, then that should be in red for sure.
I'm sorry. I apologize if this text is not accurately included. My recollection, as I said, was that the alternative qualification of being a property owner is in the ordinance. And you're saying, Ms. Zerbst, it's not on the current?
No. In Title VII, the same number, 7.08, mm-hmm. Sure. It just says official name, establishment and composition, powers and duties. Under establishment and composition, it states the Sturgis City Planning Commission shall consist of 7 members appointed and to hold office as set forth by South Dakota law. One member shall be chosen from the membership by the members as chairman, and in addition, one member of the city council shall sit as an ex officio and non-member, non-voting member of the commission. No residency stated. But I mean, if we're going...
I apologize for the uncertainty, okay. And what I would encourage you to look at is, even if I have been inaccurate in identifying changes in that in the text, what you have before you, if this is not the text that you would want, then that would be a reason to either to modify it or decide to vote against it this evening. And so it is my understanding that it was the intent of the council that commissioners would be within the city and registered voters or own property within the city of Sturgis, that there would be some ability to be on the commission even if you were not a resident here within the community or within the city.
Shouldn't that maybe be the 3-mile buffer zone, because that is what the city does? We do our variances, or not variances, but plats.
Subdivisions,
that kind of stuff, and oversee that. I mean, because in the future they would be possibly part of the city or something, or I mean, take Bastion Division or something like that, possibly.
I agree with Jason. I disagree with the line that says, or shall own property within the city of Sturgis at the time of their appointment and for the duration of their term. I think it's just it's far too broad. I think it allows not only people who don't live within the city, but possibly don't even live within the state. And while you would think, well, who would want to be a part of the commission if you don't even live here?
Well,
I mean, the way I'm reading this, it wouldn't forbid it, as long as they own property. Right. But I mean, there's other boards in town where people serve and they don't live here. But
and
so
I think the one reason they were looking at somebody outside of town is like Jake's. I mean, they own a very profitable, great business in this town. And so how I understood it is that would give them a chance to be on. And like you said, they are to be appointed, but he is still a big part of our town.
Right. And while I don't want to discourage people from, you know, serving, I mean, I went and looked, and Spearfish, your planning and zoning, they must be a city resident. Deadwood must be a city resident. Rapid City, they have 11 members, 10 must be residents. One member can reside within the 3-mile jurisdictional area that Jason talked about. So I'd like to change it to the commission member may reside outside the city limits, but within the 3-mile subdivision jurisdiction of the city.
Because right now, just appointed Bill Phillips is within the 3 miles, owns multiple properties in town, has a lot of knowledge in planning, zoning stuff. I think he's a great asset for the Planning and Zoning Commission, which therefore he would be essentially out if not.
Well, but couldn't we grandfather in the people that are already serving and from here on out?
Bill just got served it.
We can't. Yeah, but I mean, we're only on the first reading, so this won't take effect for another.
So what you're saying, Rhea, it fits within the current writings.
I think the way it's written is fine. I think it's written, it's not in red, but it's, I think, if they're a resident of the city or they own property in the city. And after all, they are appointed. I mean, it's not like they're running for that position and get elected or something.
I would move to approve the second paragraph of Title 7.08.03, inclusive of the entire paragraph. Including all commissioners shall reside within the city of Sturgis, voters, or shall own property within the city of Sturgis.
So we have a first by Mike.
Question, if I may, Mr. Mayor?
Yeah.
You're moving only approval for that subsection?
Yeah.
I understand.
So that, for clarity, Mike, your motion was as it's written, basically for first reading. Yes. We have a first by Mike. We have a second by Ron. Any last discussion, public or council?
on this first reading.
I just think we should have members who are able to vote primarily, with the exception of... I'm just going to leave that comment there. I just think that our members, most of the members should be able to vote, but I'm not against giving the three-mile jurisdiction because it's already found other places within our ordinance.
We got a first and a second on the floor. All those in favor of the motion, actually it's an ordinance, so let's roll call. Starting with myself, I'm yes. Terry?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Dave?
Yes.
Steve?
Yes.
Becca?
No.
Rhea?
Yes.
Ron?
Yes.
And Jason?
Yes.
First reading passes. Brings us to item 12 tonight. Other matters before the council, not included on the agenda. Does the public have anything to add briefly on things that are not on there? Mr. Norsgaard is coming up.
Planning and Zoning Commission, first of all, I just want to give you a kudo for the way you handled the earlier discussion about the anonymity of persons that respond to variances and uses on review. and specifically, as for me, my opinion is that I kind of agree with Councilwoman Zerbst in that people should be able to put their name on the comments that they make. However, I do understand the other side of it. I'm looking at it as a member of the Planning and Zoning. It would help me know as much as I possibly can about the situation and the people to be effective, and that's ultimately what I'm there for, okay? I came here tonight thinking I was on the agenda for another item that's probably going to come up at another council meeting, but I'm glad I did come because it was relevant. And then the discussion tonight about Creekside. I'm the one that actually made the motion during the planning meeting to move it forward, but I have to agree it was kind of like, at this point, what do we do? I mean, I really did, and I probably made, I won't say an enemy, but I could tell there's just some, you know how you pick it up from people have an opinion because you're in the position that you are and the decisions you have to make. So I won't make this lengthy, but I just wanted to say that, you know, regardless of how I might feel about the city being in the development business, maybe lesson well learned tonight about how we educate and send out maybe specific letters to the people that are directly affected. I don't know. I wasn't privy to maybe enough information. So I struggle a little bit with making that decision afterwards. But again, at that point, what do we do as a city? So if we learn from it, you know, it's all positive. But anyway, thanks for listening, and good job.
Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, good night.
Other public input. Come on up, Bonnie. Your clock starts when you're walking up here.
It's over. All right. Bye. Just as I'm thinking here, you know, one of the concerns we have is for affordable housing. And I look around town, and we have a lot of properties that are in decline, are not being kept up, are not really desirable. They go unrented or they rent with a lot of turnover. Are there possibilities? I mean, we have ferreted out some amazing funding possibilities. Are there possibilities to help people improve the structures that we have and thereby provide more affordable workforce housing? Just throwing it out. The other thing I want to say is the notice of the little place on the corner of Lazelle and 8th or 9th. I can't remember. Used to be the neighborhood grocery store, like the one on Junction, but it was on Lazelle Street there. When I was a little girl, it was a neighborhood grocery store. We went there and bought Tootsie Rolls and Tootsie Pops and that sort of thing, and the people lived in it as well. They were intending to tear that down, and they got into it and found how heavily constructed it is with rough timber and oversized stuff. And I cannot think of who has it. Johnson? Okay, which is it? Was it Ron? Is it Ron that's working on it? Is Ron the dad or the son? Okay, so I was talking to the son.
Brian.
Yeah, Brian, okay, about the work that they were doing and what prompted them to do that. And I just want to take the opportunity to commend them on turning their decision to destroy into a decision to restore. They're making it a B&B. And so, again, revenue for it, ongoing. sort of thing. Anyway, I think we should encourage more of that, and I don't know how we can encourage it. I don't know what resources we have to encourage it. If nothing else, attitudinally and culturally, we should encourage it. But I just think that there is a lot of housing in this town that is going unused, neglected, or underused. So, and again, I too want to commend you folks on the way you have engaged the grappling of the issues tonight. Becca, I'm always amazed at the depth of research you do and the understanding you have gained so quickly of some really complex processes. And I envy you that, and I appreciate you coming forward to us. Thank you all for hearing me out, as I am thoughtful and opinionated, and my heart is in this town.
Thanks, Bonnie.
As is my body.
Again, finally. Any other public comments for other matters before the council? How about council? I agree with that. Sometimes it takes me a while to figure it out. Any other comments from council? If not, Terry wants to say something. We got a first by Terry and a second by Mike to adjourn the meeting. Obviously, no need for executive session. All those in favor of the motion to adjourn, please indicate by stating yes.
Yes.
We're adjourned with confidence. Both confident. Vote all.